Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Oh, Lord, you're so beautiful. Thank you, Father, that we can come again to this place and rejoice in you. And Father, concentrate on you and your wonders. And Lord, so often our minds are distracted and our conversation is distracted. But when we come to this place, our thoughts are on you generally, and our conversation is about you. And I thank you for that, Lord. Father, as we turn our voices to sing about you and sing your praises, we just ask you to come and be with us, Lord, tonight. Touch those that are away for various reasons. Bob is ministering in jail, and others, Lord, some are sick. Some are just busy about other things in your kingdom. We ask you to touch them, Lord, and be with them. Give them strength. Raise them up if they're sick. And if they're ministering, Lord, we just ask you to give them strength and the words to minister. Be with us now as we rejoice before you. Hallelujah. Amen. If you could turn to page 449, My Redeemer. Hallelujah. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save. In his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. Josh, would you come up and sing with? I love the way you do that harmony. Come on up and sing that part. I like that. You can grab my, we can do it side by side if you want. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. Let's do verse 3. Is that one on? Okay. I will praise our dear Redeemer. His triumphant power I'll tell. How the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God with him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. On the cross he sealed my pardon.
body purchased me, purchased body purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, on the cross he sealed my pardon.
Paid the debt,
made me free,
and made me free,
and made me free.
Got his audience out there. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to be asking for some testimonies and some requests in a minute, but we're going to do one more here. Let's do Glory to His Name, page 435. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin, Jesus so freely abides within, there at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to fountain so rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet, plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name,
hallelujah.
Glory to His name, glory to His name, there at the cross with the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Hallelujah. Lord, we just do give You glory tonight. You are so wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah. Does anybody have any requests or any testimonies? Hallelujah. Joan.
Last Sunday we were over at my sister's, and I had testified to my brother before about the Lord, and none of them are saved, none of my family. And so I didn't say, you know, I wasn't even going to say anything. I said, Lord, if You want me to say anything, I want it only to be Your words,
sure,
not mine. So He never gave me words, so I never said really anything except for bless you, do we, or praying for you, that's all. And then He said, don't talk to me, you know. And so I started chatting with Him about something else, and this was all the Lord. His computer was down, and he had his email off my brother-in-law's computer. And my sister sent him an email. And I would never have gone up there, except for my mother was up there reading it. And she said, well, what is this? looked down and I started reading it, and at first I didn't get it. Because I didn't start it from the very beginning. It was called God being the judge. And it was a man that had died. And the devil was saying all the things that this man had done. And this man deserves hell. And he said that the man that represented him, he didn't, was wondering why he didn't get up to say anything about him. And when he did, he looked at him and he realized why he was so familiar. Because it was Jesus, the Son, representing him. And I looked at Dewey and I said, Dewey, this is far more than I could ever have. And you must know, only God can do this. And I walked away. Nothing else had to be said. The man did. At the end, it's Jesus represented him. And he asked, Dewey, does everyone make heaven? Everyone that comes to me and accepts me.
Glenn. Oh, I was just going to add that. But what it was a man. The man had a dream he had.
Okay.
And he died, and then he was in a courtroom, and that's what his dream was. His courtroom. The judge was God, and the prosecutor was sitting on the other side, and he had his representative. And the prosecutor was Satan, himself as Satan, and he told him all the bad things this man did, and he deserved death. And then his attorney sat there quiet until the end, approached the bench. And of course, the attorney was Jesus and stood in for him. And of course, paid for it.
Sure.
That was already.
Isn't that wonderful?
Paid for it.
Yeah. You know, this morning when Bill gave that testimony of his sister, he left one of the most beautiful things out. His sister became a Christian during this time. And that was one of the most beautiful things. And I'm sure he just was so wrapped up in the excitement of her being out of bed, finally, that part slipped his mind. But to me, that's the most beautiful part of it. Yeah, I'm glad she's up and the healing is taking place. But the inner healing had already taken place. And hallelujah.
I'm going to kind of ask you a question too, and maybe you know the answer.
Oh no, step the stars.
But remember, Dr. Dobson was talking a while ago about that initiative they voted on in California. There was,
yes.
He requested a lot of prayer for that initiative, and what it amounted to was that some certain lawmakers wanted to have gay marriages acknowledged, yes, as marriages, you know, and they get all the benefits and so on. And I just heard briefly on the radio, I didn't hear very much about it, but I heard briefly on the radio just about a week ago, and then I heard Dr. Dobson just mention it one time. I think I heard him mention it one time, but I don't know too much about it. Maybe you know more about it, but in Vermont, that very same thing just passed in Vermont, overwhelmingly, in the legislature. Are you familiar,
yeah,
with that?
Yeah.
And I don't know if Dr. Dobson asked for people to pray about
it. Yes, he did.
Yeah. I didn't hear that.
I believe in California it went to the people for a vote, didn't it? Yeah.
Right.
And it was voted down, I believe, about 2-1.
Right. And this here did not.
In Vermont, it went through the legislation.
Right.
And it didn't go before the people. And I believe that the people overwhelmingly in Vermont also are against that.
Okay.
I believe that.
Sure.
And I believe there have been studies to show that. And that's why it didn't go to the people, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's my speculation.
The governor probably was pushing it or something. I don't know. But
yeah, well, obviously there's somebody in there that wants it.
I just thought that in my mind that the devil snuck one in there,
sure,
and nobody was watching. I don't know. But
sure.
Any
other questions? Yes, he does. And sometimes he doesn't sneak them. He just bangs the door down and says, this is what we're going to do. You know, in most of the major cities, again, in most of the major cities in the United States, public schools are pushing the homosexual agenda. And they're moving it from kindergarten now. I mean, it's from kindergarten through 12th grade. And they're saying this is acceptable. This is acceptable lifestyle. They're redefining the term family. Family is not a husband and a wife and children. A family is anybody living in the same place. That can be a group of guys. That can be a group of guys and a girl. That can be a group of girls and a guy. That can be a guy with some animals or whatever. You define the term today of family. And they're really pushing that in the public schools. And they're presenting this from very early ages to the children. And if that's acceptable, they're going to grow up with that idea. And the teachers know what they're talking about because they're the authorities, you know. So, well, my teacher told me, Mom, so it's got to be true. So be careful what...
They're trying to take authority away from the parents.
Oh, absolutely. 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 Anybody else have a testimony? Paula Rose. That's a request. That's not a testimony, but we can do that. Page number 30. See if you can, Kyle, see if you can find it.
What's it called? It's called Lion of Judah. What am I looking for?
Page 30, sing Alleluia.
Yeah,
it's one of these quiet pauses. Does anybody else have a testimony? Glenn.
You know, about 5 weeks ago, when we had Melissa with us, and I asked her, Bob came up and prayed over, and we all came up in front of her. That was her dad in church today.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. And where's he at?
Well, they rent from us, see, in their home.
Yes, I know that. I mean, what's...
Oh, I don't know. It's kind of hard to tell. Okay. You know?
Well, praise the Lord.
I see some improvement, I think.
Praise the Lord. Amazing. God is a wonderful God. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the
Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth. Christ is the Lord of heaven and earth.
Kyle knows it. Well, should we try it? Shiloh knows it. Do you know that? Should we try it? See what happens? You want to try it? All right.
Lion of Judah on the throne, I shout your name, let it be known that you are King of Kings. You are the Prince of Peace. May your kingdoms reign. Never cease. Hail to the King. Hail to the King. Lion of Judah, come to earth. I want to thank you for your birth, for your living word, your death on the tree, may the king's resurrection victory. Alleluia. Alleluia. Lion of Judah, come again. Take up your throne, Jerusalem. Bring release to this earth and the consummation of your kingdom's reign. Let it come, Maranatha.
Shiloh first. I think John had his hand up before. What did you want, Johnny? Battle belongs to the Lord. Kyle, can you get that out? What do you need, Chuck?
This kingdom.
This kingdom. I think I've got that one right here. Yeah. Battle belongs to the Lord. Okay. And then we'll do this kingdom. Thank you.
In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. The weapons that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory. Honor.
darkness comes in like a flood. The battle belongs to the Lord. You raise up a standard, the power of His blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
Enemy presence in heart, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Take courage, my friend, your redemption draws near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory,
righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, His kingdom come. Jesus, redemption sacrifice, now glorified, justified, His kingdom come, and this kingdom no end, and its glory shall know no bound, for the majesty and power of this kingdom's King has come. Kingdom's rule and this kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness revealed. Jesus, grace of God.
God's righteousness and this kingdom's reign.
kingdom's reign,
and this kingdom's rule,
and this kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness,
reveal one more time.
And this kingdom's reign, and this kingdom's rule, and this kingdom's power and authority. Jesus, God's righteousness,
revealed.
Jesus, Jesus, God's righteousness.
Maybe what we can do is, I know Glenn had his hand up, and maybe we can sing your song during the offering. Can we do that? Pastor Craig, you want to come and receive the offering? And what was your number?
Jesus, we find the power in the name of the Lord. Those things we will not be
I'm going to take one verse out of a very familiar story, 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you want to turn there. We all know this story. From the youngest of children, we learned this story of David and Goliath. But I don't really want to preach on that story this evening. I want to take a thought that David has and just expound on it for a little bit, because Thursday is National Day of Prayer, and I'd like to spend some time in prayer this evening. We don't have anything scheduled for Thursday, but those of you, well, actually, there's nobody here this evening from the Menominee area. They have a prayer gathering at noon at Wilson Park, if you're interested in that. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 29. And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" David said, "Is there not a cause?" He was wondering why nobody would go out and fight the giant, that nobody would stand up for the Lord. How dare this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, defy the armies of the living God? How dare he do that? Is there not a cause to fight for? Is there not a cause to march out there and challenge Goliath with? Is there not a cause? I want to burn that point home to us this evening. Is there not a cause for us to get involved and pray for our nation and our world? Father, we ask your blessing upon these few words this evening. I pray that you would burn it within our heart that there is a cause and there is something we can do. We can pray. When all else fails, we can pray. In fact, all else will fail until we pray. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I got one for you today. You remember this classic story before us, the story of how David killed Goliath because of his faith in God? At least that's what I thought it was all along. I thought David beat Goliath because of his faith in God, and God helped him. But there's another version to the story dreamed up by a professor at Ben Gurion University in Israel, and this one's a dandy. You might want to just sit down. Well, you are sitting down, but don't fall over in your pew. According to this professor, David's faith in the Lord and his deadly accuracy with the sling had little to do with Goliath's demise. You see, poor Goliath had poor eyesight. The professor believes the giant had a condition known as, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right or not, I was talking to Gail before the service and asked if she had heard this, acromyalgia. It's a disease of the pituitary gland that causes a benign growth in the brain. This tumor puts pressure on the optic nerve, which reduces peripheral vision, resulting in reduced view of vision or tunnel vision. So when did this professor examine Goliath? And pardon me while I laugh, but Goliath would have been pretty easy to spot in the waiting room, Wendy. Yeah. Well, of course, he never saw Goliath. The giant lived over 3,000 years ago. But this professor has examined some big people who have this disease. So therefore, he concludes that Goliath must have had it as well. Therefore, the giant never saw David, and he was unprepared for the rock and roll action that killed him. The professor told his students it was a miracle that such a small and young shepherd could defeat Goliath in battle, but now I have found an explanation for it. Boy, am I ever relieved to hear that, aren't you? All these years, I just believed that God honored David's faith and God's hand was on David and that David risked his life and his limb by going out there to face that 9.5-foot gorilla. Now I know it was because Goliath was blind. You know, I guess that's why the whole Israeli army was scared of him, right? They saw the giant out there in the valley with his seeing eye dog and they knew they couldn't mess with him. To quote the great theologian Charlie Brown, good grief. That's amazing what people will come up with because they don't want to believe the scriptures. They don't want to believe the Bible. They don't want to believe the miraculous that we talked about in Sunday school so well this morning. While this professor hasn't changed my mind, I still believe that God used David, and David went out there with great faith, risking his life to take on that giant. I believe that God was behind David and God helped him. He used the skill that David had learned with the slingshot and God guided him to slay the giant. I believe that was God's purpose. But you know, we are going up against giants in our day. We're going up against some Philistines of our own. Philistines today are not necessarily giants. They're not giants in physical stature, but we face giants of philosophy and giants whose philosophies are filled with humanistic religion and reasoning. You know, we have to put up with these crackpots in their ridiculous ways of discrediting the power of God. But the problem is that just like the Philistines were gaining an advantage in their day until David came along, the Philistines are gaining an advantage in our day. We need to realize that we have the power, as we just sang about. We need to realize there's a cause. There is a reason for us to stand up and fight. There's a reason for us to pick up our slingshots and those smooth stones. There's a reason for us to pray and do battle against the humanistic giants of our days. There's a reason for us to pray for our religious freedoms. Pray for the folks at the Presbyterian Church in Jacksonville, Oregon. Their church has outgrown its 125-seat sanctuary. The congregation has purchased a 10-acre site, and they want to build a 400-seat sanctuary. But the city council there has said that they can do it only if they agree, get this, only if they agree that the new sanctuary will not be used for weddings or funerals. I kid you not. The council claims these restrictions are needed to control traffic in the neighborhood. Well, you know what huge crowds weddings and funerals draw. Well, Pastor Larry Young said the city is interfering with the church's free exercise of religion. He said, "Weddings and funerals are central to what we do. But the city council insists it's not going to happen. And I thought, well, that's not too different from where we're at, 125-seat sanctuary. We want to put an addition on. What if the city council or the state of Wisconsin came to us and said, you can build a new building, but you cannot have weddings or funerals there? One of the council members, John, I don't know his last name, snapped. You think you've got God on your side that you're exempt from zoning? In the same state of Oregon, another church is battling city officials. In Portland, the Sunnyside United Methodist Church was told by a city official that it must limit the number of people who gather for worship services. Here's the statement. People coming to church programs create a nuisance. I think it, you know, there's a lot of things worse than church programs. But it gets worse than that. This Methodist church will seat also 400 people. The council is demanding, this blows me away, the council is demanding that no more than 70 people be inside at any given time. One of the pastors of the church said, this may be the first time in modern America that a government official has attempted to limit the number of people who can worship at a particular church. 1,100 people of all faiths have since met to protest the ruling. I hope they also show up for the next election when they vote these guys into office. Oregon lawmakers have asked the state's attorney general to rule on whether cities can impose such limits on churches. Makes you wonder and pray. And speaking of prayer, the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, wants the University of Colorado men's basketball team to stop praying. Coach Patton said, if we are doing anything wrong, we will discontinue it. An ACLU referee says lip service is not good enough. There needs to be a clear statement of wrongdoing from the coach and that the university will provide consequences for violators in the future. I have a question. I might have missed something. You know what? Sometimes I'm out of touch. But did somebody make the ACLU our conscience? Was there ever an act of Congress that made the ACLU the spokesman for people's rights? I don't remember anything like that ever happening. So who gave these people the power and the prerogative to step in any situation they want and try to overrule it or overturn it or impose their ideas and philosophies and ways of thinking? The University of Colorado athletic director said, we have done nothing wrong. You see, they don't even coerce the players into praying. They don't have a group prayer meeting. They don't say, we're having a prayer meeting, you have to attend. All they do is allow the players the opportunity to pray if they want to. That's it. Guard Hosea Winston says, we believe in God. We believe in God, and that's final. We are not going to change just because somebody wants us to change and say it's not right to pray. The ACLU wants everybody to have rights as long as they are the one who can define what the word right really means. I think the ACLU has been out of bounds in this land of the free and the home of the brave for a long time now. And I think that we need to step up our prayer, praying against some of these false philosophies and these things that are going on. I didn't know that about, what state was it you were talking about tonight? Vermont. I didn't hear that about Vermont. That is another tragedy that's going on. Don, share with me what you shared with me this morning about on the National Day of Prayer there in Washington.
I just heard, I think it was Thursday or Friday, on the news, but every year they've always had a prayer vigil. Prayers always had a vigil across from the White House at Lafayette Park. That's been an ongoing thing for years. And they've always tried to reserve it a year in advance. This last year they were told they could only reserve it 6 months in advance. So when the 6 months were up, they went to reserve it. Then they were told that the gay and lesbian ones had reserved it a year and a half before on that same day, so they could not have their thing there. They got booted out
for having it. Yeah, it's tragedy. It's a shame, and it's happening all over, and it's going to continue to happen unless we really get a hold of God and God changes some things. Power of prayer is the thing that I know that works. Anybody else have anything to share? I don't have a lot. I told you I didn't have a lot tonight. I just wanted to bring up a couple of things. Make us wonder, make us pray. Anybody else? George, and then...
I just really think that we should be praying for that same agenda in the public school systems. Because it's, I mean, they've got men hired that are homosexual men, openly hired to counsel our children in that area of their sexuality. And they're counseling them in basically saying that this is acceptable, this is okay. It's just the society that has a problem with that, and you're okay. You're fine. And this is what these people are hired by our tax money to teach our students in public schools. They have offices in the buildings, and they have an agenda. They have newsletters that they print. They have websites internet that the schools are paying for and supporting and supplying and printing the newsletters and setting up meetings for the students and these people to come and counsel them. This is going on today. This is happening.
John?
Yeah, I believe in prayer. I believe in using prayer so much. I believe in what we sow, so shall we reap. I believe that. I believe that if our hearts are right, we can ask Him for His will. My will gets in the way. I ask for His will. And for a long time, I prayed. I had prayers for a lot of people on my prayer list. And you see, I put a little thing beside it. You know, God, would you please this to these people? And He showed me, hey, you pray. I'm the doer. I know what they need. So, Lord. So now I pray for you. You know, I always had my will. Always my vision. He's really showing me a lot of things. And I am praying differently now. He's showing me different things.
Amen. Don?
And I heard another, I didn't catch what college this was. One of like Campus Crusade for Christ, or one of those Christian college organizations, were told they could not be on the college campus anymore because they would not allow a lesbian to be a leader of their group.
Mm-hmm. Really?
And, yeah. on the same vein, the Boy Scouts, their cases of, I didn't hear what the Supreme Court decided, but they haven't decided yet. They need prayer because they had a homosexual man wanted to be the scout master, wasn't it just? And they didn't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not just big cities like St. Paul. I mean, I think we've heard Bob Shackleton talk about.
Sure is not. I mean, it's Menominee. Happening in these districts around here, folks. If you dig deep enough, you'll find it. And believe me, it's in Boyceville, it's in Glenwood City, it's in Menominee, it's in Spring Valley, it's in any of the districts around here. If it's a public school, if it's supplied by tax money, they're teaching that agenda.
I heard that when we were down the Florida one year, it was written in a newspaper down there about they wanted to change to 5H and homosexual would be the 5th H. Lynn
Wood
had an article on that whole thing.
Before
4-H. And they wanted 5-H and
9-H. Wow. I don't listen to a lot of radio at all. And usually Christian radio if I'm going to listen to it. But I do listen to Dr. Laura sometimes. I know Glenn does. And I was in the car early one morning. She wasn't on yet. And I flipped it on CCO. And it, who was that, Babs and the Boys or something? I don't know if you've ever listened to that. But they had a guy on there they were interviewing, and I don't know what his office he was from. I got kind of the end of the interview. But he was talking about how they bring in refugees, and they relocate them in the state of Minnesota. And it's mainly the Minneapolis, the Twin Cities area. And some of these people coming in, If they have AIDS, they have the HIV virus, they don't even need to report it. They don't need to report it to the city. And of course, some people are hot about that. I mean, what about our rights to know? Well, what about, they say, the person that has the virus has the right to privacy. And so it doesn't need to be told. But what about our rights to protect ourselves? You know, and that's the ACLU, when they get involved, everything gets twisted. Everything gets twisted up. Right becomes wrong, wrong becomes right.
In that same vein, it may not sound like that big a deal, but if these people are in a car crash and they're cut up, there are people that are dealing with them, there are people that are bleeding on. And it's the body fluids that this is transmitted through. So any of the ambulance help, any of the police come to help, if anybody sees the accident and gets out to help, and they don't have the equipment to put on, see, it's endangering everybody that is cleaning up the car, taking it to the tow truck, and towing it away. Everybody that is involved in that situation is in jeopardy.
And we forget about their rights. The rights of the victim.
So it's not only the ACLU and,
sure,
and the schools and the Boy Scouts and all, even some of the churches, you know, we're all aware, of course, and how they're pushing this homosexual business and abortion rights and all that. I can't comprehend it, but it's happening.
I know. You don't know how they can call it a church and still do that, yes.
And their membership is great. They have a lot of members, you know. That's what the majority around this area of that synod.
Very good. Gail?
I mentioned once in Sunday school about reading about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and how Nazi Germany. He was I thought he was a Lutheran.
Yep. I believe he was, yes.
Yeah. In Germany, when the Nazis were taking over, and what people didn't understand was, you know, like Christians here in America, how could the Germans just turn their backs, you know? And they said that, you know, as close as we are to the railroad tracks, that they would turn the music up. They would sing louder when the trains were going by, because they didn't want to hear the people crying and screaming in the trains that were being taken. You know, the Jews and other people that helped them to be taken away. And, you know, it really is the same. The reason I brought that up is because it really, if you think about it, it really is the same thing, that he wanted the church to settle with the government. He wanted them to fit in. Hitler, I'm saying, wanted them to fit in and turn their back and just ignore this. You take care of this. We're running the country. This is the way. This is where you have to fit in. You either fit in, or like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, you were taken to prison and he was executed there, you know, for not fitting in. And you know, we're definitely headed that way.
We are. Well, tonight, So for some reason, the bulletins didn't get passed out this morning. If you didn't get a bulletin, Josh and Kyle or Ryan or somebody here, you want to pass out. Take a bulletin. These flyers, these inserts are in there. If we need these, you can take one of these. Let me have one. Oh, there's only one left. And I'd just like you to take a couple of minutes here to look this over. And on the one side, they have a list of all the leaders, the names of the leaders, federal leaders, state leaders, and local leaders. This is Menominee, Pastor Paul Pillman has done this. But if you would like to, if you have a pencil, you can write down John Peterson, who is the mayor of Wilson, And maybe you know the mayor from your town or whatever, if you'd like to put that in there for you as well, or anybody else you can think of. That can be a nice, handy little guide for you there. And then on the other side, there are five main areas to pray for. And that's what I'd like us to do tonight. I'd like us to all come to the front, if you feel like it. I mean, you don't have to. If you want to sit there, you can. If you might have to leave, you can go. But otherwise, I'm going to invite you to come to the front here, and we're going to take turns praying for these particular areas. Actually, we will skip the first one, personal renewal. And after we have prayed corporately, if you'd like to get off by yourself, you can pray for that. But we want to pray for the family. We want to pray for the hurting, imprisoned, and persecuted. We want to pray for churches and Christian ministries. We want to pray for the media outreach and the cultural and social services. So could we do that? Let's come up to the front here, just gather around this evening. What I'd like to do is ask for volunteers so that we have at least some person that will lead us all in prayer for one of these things. So do I have any volunteers to pray for the family? Anybody want to volunteer to pray for the family? Okay, welcome back to the family. They're hurting, imprisoned, they're persecuted. Anybody want to volunteer to pray for the persecuted? Okay, Gail.
You can too.
How about churches and Christian ministries? Okay, thank you. The media, cultural and social services.
Nobody wants to pray for those guys.
I'll pray for the family.
You'll pray for the family?
Okay. I'm sorry, I was making a review.
All right, I'll pray for the last one. But if anybody would like to pray, you say, "Oh, I didn't raise my hand to pray for the family, but I'd like to pray for the family." You'll have that opportunity after George does. Okay, so just go ahead and do that. I'll announce when we go to the next category. The family, Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And there are some things that are suggestions for us there. Ask God to help us. Thank Him for our families. Hold to the purity of marriage. Place high value on human life. Serve one another in true love. Restore broken relationships. George, would you lead us, please?
Lord, we do ask you right now to help us, especially, Lord, us men, that our husbands, that our fathers, Lord, we just ask you to pour out your spirit of wisdom upon each one of us, Father, that we would know the proper way to live with our wives. We would know, Lord, the proper way to raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, we do thank you for our families, Father. And we just ask you to magnify the family that you have created, Lord, the husband and the wife and the children, the grandparents, the grandchildren, Lord, the generations of continuing family. We ask you to glorify that, Lord, before the world. Show them, Father, that this is the way to perpetuate the society, Father. And we do hold to the purity of the marriage, Father. I ask you, Lord, to cause each one of us to be strong, that we would turn our eyes away from wicked. We would put a cover over our ears when we come into the presence of things that are wrong to listen to, Father. We ask you to give us strength to stand and proclaim the strength of marriage, Father, that our wives are important to us, and they're not to be flaunted or to be put down, but they're to be raised up and shown before other men that we love our wives and our families, our children. Lord, we do put a high value on human life, Father. And we ask you to move on behalf of the society, Lord, that would go back to what it used to be, where abortion wasn't so freely bought on the street. Father, we ask you to break down those laws that allow a woman to just freely walk into a clinic and destroy those babies. Father, we ask you to give strength back to your people. Help us, Lord, to turn our hearts back to you and to continually cry out to you that our strength would be in you again. Lord, I do ask that you would cause each one of us to serve one another in true love, in the love of Christ, the way you came and you served the church, Lord. We ask you to strengthen each one of us, and again, give us wisdom that we would know how to serve one another. And Father, all the broken, bleeding hearts that have come from this folly of free love and free sex and just the folly of the freedom that we're living in today. We are so bound up in the freedom that we think we have. Lord, we ask you to restore the relationships, rekindle the flame of love, Lord, and affection in the hearts of the people, that they would turn back to their husbands and their wives. And Lord, the children would turn back to the parents, and the parents would turn back to the children. Lord, we ask you to restore those relationships and grant your peace and your strength in that family situation. Hallelujah. Father, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom and give us strength to stand on your word. Lord, even if it comes to the point of costing our lives, give us the strength to stand on your word as truth. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask in the precious, powerful name of Jesus Christ to grant these things today.
If anybody else would like to pray for the family, now's your chance. Next, the hurting and imprisoned and persecuted, not returning evil for evil, but on the contrary, blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. Some suggested things to pray about. Ask God to help them endure their hardships, find joy in the midst of trials, encourage one another, experience forgiveness, find comfort in Jesus. Gail, would you lead us?
Dad's going to start you tonight.
Oh, okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you on behalf of these that are suffering for your cause. Their families are suffering hardships. They're being separated, and families are being separated and sold as slaves.
Yes.
Lord, we just pray that you give them the strength to endure whatever hardship they're facing. Lord, it's only through your strength that they can endure. Lord, somehow through their witness, Lord, that they would be able to minister to those that are even persecuting them. Lord, that the persecutors would see that there is something in their life that they need in their life. And Lord, you know where all the people are that are suffering for your cause. And even here in the United States, we're starting to come against some of this. Lord, just give us the strength also as we face these challenges. Lord, we just are so grateful that we still have the freedom to worship you.
Yes.
Lord, we just heart goes out to those that are suffering for your cause. I can't imagine going through that without God's help. And Lord, we just hold them up before you. Continually, Lord, just help us keep reminding us of them. Keep them on our hearts. That you would continually give them strength. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity that I have to hold them up. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I ask you also to just encourage and strengthen the ministries that especially reach out to the persecuted, Voice of the Martyrs, and the Freedom Foundation, Lord, and Open Doors, and all the many ministries that and church groups that go over to close countries and minister to their needs. I ask you to strengthen wives that are left at home with young children when their husbands that are pastors are taken to prison, like in Vietnam, Lord, and in Cuba. Father, I just ask you to strengthen the Christians in Sudan, Lord, that are being separated. The ones in Indonesia, Lord, Indonesia is really a terrible hot spot right now, and I just ask you, Father, to just minister to their needs, Lord. I just saw this picture, Lord, that you sent in the mail, this woman that was tortured for you 10 years ago, and her scars still become infected because of the suffering of being a Christian. Lord, I just ask you to heal that woman. I don't remember her name, Lord, but you know who I'm talking about, and I just ask you to touch her and strengthen her. Lord, and in China especially, Lord, I just ask you to minister to the Christian leaders who have been just recently taken again to prison, and house church after house church has been closed, and I just ask you to minister to their needs, Lord. Encourage the believers that are left without a pastor, the wives who are left without husbands. Oh Lord, I just ask you to be with them. Be with them in prison. Let them hear your voice, Lord. Send angels to minister to their needs. There's so many things I don't even know where to begin. But I thank you, Lord. I know that in China they don't even want persecution to end because they're afraid that the Christians will become easy and that the gospel will be a cheap thing. And I know that their heart is that hard times keep up so that they keep close to your throne. And I just ask you, Lord, to help us have that same fervency. Mm-hmm. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Yes.
You know, I need to ask a prayer for Brother Frank had the same experience down in Trinidad. Mm-hmm. He started going down there 10 years ago, and the world came in, and there's so much happening since then. They were good praying Christians, and in 10 years' time, it's nobody wants to listen anymore. The devil is having its field day, and he's moved up to Fort Francis now to start. The Lord is putting on his heart to start a ministry for the street people in Fort Francis. And I just pray that the way is made, Lord Jesus. You know he only has a heart for you, and doing your will, Lord Jesus. Pray that the way is made easy for him. It's always been a hard road to hold for the shepherds that lead the way, and I just thank them so much for telling the truth. I thank you, Lord Jesus. There's not a lot of churches that tell the truth anymore. And I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're showing our family where we could have been and where we are. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. We could have been one of them. salvation lightly. You gave me the most precious gift I could ever receive. Thank you, Lord. I don't know why you chose me. I don't follow me. I'm so grateful, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for everybody being here today, and we pray for everybody that's hurting or in bondage or suffering in any way. Pray for those that are persecuted in all things, in all ways. Pray for those that are in jails, some of them not because they've done anything wrong, but they're in the wrong situation. And those that are in situation because of what they've done, we pray, Lord, that you bless them and show them your ways and give them your salvation and peace and forgiveness.
Yes.
In the sense that they do change their ways. Lord God, we just thank you for everything. And we pray that they, as well as we, can proclaim the victory.
Mm-hmm.
Live our life in your fashion, in your way. Yes, that's all we've got.
Father, I just ask you to be with the people like Bob Shackleton and those that go to minister in those prisons and jails and in that type of atmosphere, Lord. Give them strength, give them wisdom, give them courage, Lord, to stand up and be strong in your word, be strong in your spirit, Lord. Just fill them with your wisdom. Just fill them overflowing with your spirit. That they would go in and be able to minister to these people and minister life in this place of death and dying. Lord, just give them strength to do that. And I just really appreciate, Lord, these people that do minister in those places. I just thank you that you have given us the ability, Lord, to rub shoulders with some of them. Father, that we can gain from their wisdoms and their insights. Lord, give them protection and safety as they go in and minister to these people. Give them wisdom, Lord.
The next item is churches and Christian ministries. Be an example in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. 1 Timothy 4:12. Ask God to help them be bold in their witness, hold to God's word as truth, meet America's spiritual need, be a place of hope and healing, strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ, our sister Angelina.
Heavenly Father, I just come before you with praise in my heart that you have allowed us to be in this place tonight, Lord, and that, Lord, a church with promise, your promises, Lord, and that they're upheld here. And, Lord, I just want to pray for so many of the churches in America today, and, Lord, even around the world that have become weak and let the world come in and Satan's subtleties, Lord. And, Lord, I just ask that you pour your spirit, Lord, upon the pastors and the leaders of these churches, Lord, the deacon boards and the trustees, that, Lord, they don't get caught up in the world and the subtleties of the world, Lord, but empower them with you, for your spirit is the only one that can help these churches, Lord. And, Lord, the people are hungry. The world is hungry for your word. And, Lord, you, as you're out in the workplace, you, when people know you're a Christian, they have questions and they want to know and are asking the questions. But Lord, so many of our churches are so weak. And Lord, they've allowed Satan's subtleties to come in and to wreck their witness, Lord, and corrupt their pastors and their deacon boards and just anybody that's there. Lord, you know these churches, Lord, but you have given us the promise that there will always be a remnant. And Lord, I just pray in your name, Lord, that you will just continue to make your remnant grow and that these people, you will truly get a hold of these people's hearts. And Lord, our churches need to be a place to go for comfort in the times when we're all so terribly weak that we need to gather in your name. And Lord, I just pray that
you will just empower each person that's here, Lord, to open their mouths and to stand up for what's right, even in a church that maybe isn't right. And Lord, sometimes that's the hardest thing, is to take your stand, and Lord, for what you want. And Lord, just empower these people, Lord, and give them your words, give them your spirit, Lord, and just allow them to stand firm, and so that we can don't show the outside world, which seem to see the corruption in us Christians worse than us Christians see it in ourselves. Lord, just be with them. Guide them, Lord, so that our churches will be a safe haven, Lord, and a place where they can go when they're hurting, Lord, or hungry, or just for kindness. The world is so critical, and Lord, just they need to know that you are kindness, that you are love, and that you are faithful to them, Lord, and just bless the churches, Lord, that are standing for you now. Lord, it's so hard, our young people, with what they hear on the outside, Lord, and trying to teach them your ways, and only you can touch their hearts, Lord. And just thank you to see all the youth in this building, and Lord, that they are here, they're praying, and Lord, it just is very uplifting to me. And Lord, I just thank you for each one of them, Lord, and they are your next generation. And Lord, we just thank you for the parents, Lord, that are willing to bring them here. And Lord, that just don't stand back and allow them to do what they want to do. And Lord, just bless this church. Bless all the churches in America, overseas. Lord, they're so persecuted and hidden in basements. But you know who they are, Lord, and you can bless them and touch their hearts. Lord, we just love you. In your name, amen.
Father, I just ask that you would move on behalf of these churches that Pastor mentioned today that are having a problem with their zoning commissions and whatever. Lord, I ask you to move on their behalf, that these areas, the people would have compassion on them, Lord, and they would go on to raise up mighty armies in your name. Lord, that mighty armies would move through those buildings and come and worship you and serve you there, and that these neighborhoods that these churches are in would be completely turned upside down. Lord, that it would be more than just a distraction or an inconvenience, but it would be a complete renovation of the whole area, Lord. That people would just come to you by the droves, Lord. That they would just be compelled to serve you because these churches are preaching your truth and your word is being proclaimed and the sins are being shown and revealed and the people are crying out for salvation. Lord, move on behalf of these churches that he spoke of. That they would be mighty, mighty fortresses to serve you. Hallelujah. Yes. To serve you,
Lord. And then the media, cultural, and social services. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. Psalm 101, verse 3. Ask God to help them reflect godly values in their work, be accurate and fair in presentations, place high value on truth and decency, be responsible with their influence, bring positive change to our culture. Let's pray. Father, I have the privilege of praying tonight for what many people believe to be the big monster, the media, the national media. That is out there with an agenda of their own. It appears to be an agenda to destroy the family, to mock Christian values, and to promote violence and seduction, and actually all of the things that are anti-Christianity. Lord, we pray that you would help them, first of all, come to realize that they are accountable to an unseen judge for what they put before our eyes and what they place on the airwaves that our ears may hear. Lord, we do purpose to not set wicked things before our eyes, but that we are constantly bombarded with it. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would give us the grace to be able to overlook those things that we shall not see. But also, Lord, we pray that the media and the social service agencies will come to the point where truth becomes once important once again to them. Oh, Lord, we pray that the truth would win. Oh, Lord, your word encourages us to buy the truth and sell it not. Lord, we need to hang on to the truth, and we pray for a revival of truth in America. Father, we ask that Satan would be bound, who is the liar, the father of lies, and that, Lord, the truth would be known. And I pray that justice would be served and presented. Lord, that Christianity would not be presented in an unfair and an unjust way. But Lord, it would be presented as it really is, in truth. Lord, those that are not even Christians in the media, that they would want to proclaim and protect the truth. And Lord, we do pray for a revival and a salvation of many of those in the media, in the high places, that make the decisions and what goes on television and on radio. Lord, that they would have a change of heart and that they would receive Jesus as their Savior, that they would learn responsibility. Lord, that they would realize that they will be someday called to account, to give an account of how they influenced our culture and our children. Lord, so in turn, as they grasp that, they would bring positive changes to our culture. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless the Christian media and continue to be an outreach to those, especially those that are shut-ins, that they would be blessed and that they would be able to be ministered in this regard. We pray, Lord, that you would use these medias, that people would tune in and they would hear the gospel being proclaimed, that they might come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we still have the freedom to be able to do that. And we pray that that freedom would continue. And Lord, we just pray that you would hear these prayers tonight. You would not forsake the prayers of your people. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And then if you would like to tonight, you don't have to. I know it's getting late. If you'd like to find some time and pray for this personal renewal, search me, O God, know my heart. Ask God to help us confess our sinfulness. Seek his direction, obey his holy word, rely on him, not ourselves, reach out to others in love. If you don't take the time to do that tonight, take the time to do that sometime this week, though. And try to spend some time in prayer on Thursday as our nation unitedly goes to prayer for some of these things. So God bless you. You are dismissed. If you'd like to spend some time in prayer, these altars are open.